Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. We're live from our studios in Jeffersonville. Busy week. Girls games Tuesday and Thursday night. We have football tonight. Of course, Jeffersonville plays at Castle in a one-game regional championship. Can this unbelievable, I don't want to call it season, but close to the regular season and tournament run continue for Jeffersonville, because they just weren't good at the start of the year, but things have changed. The tide has turned. They've got some additional help. They've got a couple players back that were injured at times during the season, and this Jeffersonville team has been playing some great football. They've got a big challenge. Castle 7-4, pretty good. We'll see how Jeffersonville does, but I wouldn't count them out with how they've played the last few weeks against the likes of Floyd Central and New Albany. I just simply wouldn't count this Jeffersonville team out. They'll go on the road tonight at Castle, and we'll have that game for you live as part of our Southern Indiana Football Fridays coverage. Jeffersonville, the last team standing as far as Clark and Floyd County high school football teams go. So congratulations to them, and best of luck to Coach Parker and his team tonight as they make the trip down to Castle. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to today. We found out that Indiana is officially going to have Hoosier Hysteria. We kind of hinted at that. It was rumored last week, and now we have some details on that we'll share with you coming up in the headlines. Also, we know another non-conference opponent for Indiana. We thought they would add another mid-major school to the schedule. I think now we know basically the non-conference schedule for Indiana, I think. Nothing's been released officially by the school yet. We still don't have the Big Ten schedule yet. Maybe it'll drop this afternoon. I don't know that. Just thinking. I've got to believe if it doesn't happen this afternoon, that by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, I would just be absolutely floored if we don't have the full IU schedule, including the Big Ten games. But we'll tell you who Indiana has scheduled in the non-conference. We'll kind of recap the non-conference schedule for you as well, and a couple other notes in our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments today. Later in the show, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana joins us. We'll talk some IU basketball, but I want to focus, too, on IU football. Get ready for this game at Michigan State over the weekend. And that's one of the things that's amazing about this Indiana football season, and really kind of disappointing. As good of a start as it's been for Indiana, and it's a lot of great things going on with the football program. We're going to talk about that later with Dylan as well. Even off the field, as far as getting some recruits and a transfer coming in from Florida State for next year, which, you know, you think he'll be immediately eligible if the NCAA follows suit with granting transfer waivers like they have for other sports. But how bad is it that the fans can't participate? And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, think about Ohio State. Of course, think about some of the big games at home coming up later this season. The fans can't be there. The fans can't tailgate. It's just not your college football experience. In fact, you really, if you follow the guidelines of the state right now, as we kind of go backwards starting this weekend, you really can't even have an IU tailgate party at your house or on your own private property if you want to be safe from this virus. And so Indiana finally breaking through in a big way with wins over some big opponents that they haven't beat or don't beat very often. And the fans really, other than being excited and listening and watching from home, the fans really can't participate. And that's obviously the one down thing so far with this good IU football season so far. And I'll say this too. We're going to talk IU football with Dylan, but if Indiana wins at Michigan State, and I just have a feeling it won't be as easy as maybe what people think. I think it'll be a game. I could be wrong, but I think it'll be a game. I just can't imagine the buildup next week to the Ohio State game. I don't know that Indiana is ready to beat Ohio State. You know what, though? I think they can play with Ohio State, and if they go into that game undefeated, it's already going to be on Fox. It could be a college game day environment. Who knows? But that will be a fun week. But Indiana has to get it done in East Lansing this weekend for that sort of stuff to be considered and for next week to have a really special feel to it as Indiana heads into that contest. So we'll talk football, basketball with Dylan Wallace, and then segment three today, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. Things are changing right now in our state. We know the virus numbers have been going up. After Governor Holcomb's Wednesday update, a lot of counties and health departments had updates across the state, whether it had to do with school, in-person, e-learning, virtual learning, or whether it had to do with sports as well. And so we'll kind of talk about where things are at in the state right now. We'll talk about the high school football state tournament that rolls on tonight. You've got regional games all across the state this weekend. And, of course, we're beginning to wind down in football because you've got the semi-state next week, one-game semi-states, and then you've got a one-game state championship to follow that. So we'll catch up with Kyle on those topics as well. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in. You can take them to go. And curbside service is still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany if you call ahead. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. First and foremost, November 18th, what is that, 5 days from now, you're going to get a virtual Hoosier Hysteria on Wednesday, November 18th. It was announced Thursday by IU Athletics. Here's what the release says. It's presented by Smithville, 8 p.m. Wednesday, November 18th. And you can view it on Facebook Live, so facebook.com/IndianaMBB for men's basketball, IndianaMBB. And normally this is a cool deal because the Hoosier Hills Food Bank, you take a couple cans to donate in lieu of an admission price for this preseason event. They're asking fans to still do that at hhfoodbank.org, hhfoodbank.org, or you can visit their Venmo page. Search for them on Venmo and just send them a donation directly. The release goes on to say a little bit about the team and the schedule and highlight some of the top players. Of course, Trace Jackson Davis. It doesn't give any details as to what this virtual Hoosier Hysteria event will include. I don't know if it will include some sort of short inter-squad scrimmage. I don't know if it will include a three-point slam dunk contest. I don't even know if it's going to include the women's program. I would highly doubt it for separation purposes that it does, like the normal Hoosier Hysteria event has in the past. So maybe we'll get some more details before 8 p.m. Wednesday. Maybe we won't, but Hoosier Hysteria, I know there'll be a ton of IU fans tuning in to see what happens at Assembly Hall. And again, just will be good to see some basketball taking place, even if it's a practice, even if it's a scrimmage, even if it's a couple competitions. Maybe it's going to be introductions of players. Who knows what it will include or not include, but it will just be fun to see and know that we're getting that much closer to the college basketball season for this year. We are really weeks away, less than 2 weeks away now, until the start of college basketball. Probably the biggest news today is that Indiana has added a game, a home game, to their schedule on Sunday, December 13th. They are going to take on North Alabama, and that was figured out because North Alabama's schedule was released yesterday. North Alabama is a member of the Atlantic Sun. They were 13-17 last season, and they also played Indiana last year, a 91-65 win for Indiana. That was November 12th, 2019. They're picked fifth in the Atlantic Sun Conference this year by Blue Ribbon Basketball Yearbook. And so this will be the second and final game that Indiana will have, which I say against lesser competition, probably not the most formal word to use, but against mid-major type competition. So Tennessee Tech to open the year on November 25th. That's the first bye game. You don't want to call them exhibition games, but real opportunity for Indiana to not necessarily have to worry about winning the game. They're going to very much overmatch both of those teams, but more so, those games are important because I think they're learning opportunities, opportunities for the coaches to experiment. And so here's what we know about the non-conference schedule, and I think it's pretty much complete. November 25th, Tennessee Tech at home. November 30th through December 2nd, the Maui Invitational at Asheville, North Carolina, which cracks me up to say every time, Maui in Asheville, just crazy. December 9th, the Big Ten ACC Challenge at Florida State, again this year for Indiana. December 13th, the game that we learned of yesterday, North Alabama coming to Bloomington. And December 19th, Butler as part of the Crossroads Classic event in Indianapolis. That should just about do it. That would give Indiana two November games, three December games, and keep in mind there's been rumors of three, four, or even five Big Ten Conference games in the month of December. So that could be an eight-game December for Indiana if it's a five-conference game month. Of course, seven if it's a four, six if it's a three. I don't think it'll be any less than three. Trying to get some of those games in early and get them out of the way, to be quite honest, so you've got room to pad some things later on as the Big Ten schedule unfolds. Also, another college basketball note, you hate to see this, not a total surprise. They were very quick, this conference was, to react on football. I think they were the first conference that pulled football this season. Maybe they moved it to the spring, I don't remember, but the Ivy League had a meeting last night, a virtual meeting, I assume, and they canceled all winter sports. So tough for those athletes. They are making a decision I know they think is in the best health interest of their student-athletes in that conference, but that's a tough pill to swallow, especially when, at least at this point, most of the rest of Division I college basketball is going to try to get through this thing, it seems, as of now. Now, things can change. The virus can change. We know all that, but so far, so good. But the Ivy League, I should say, is not going to play sports this winter. One other note as well, I thought this was interesting. I saw yesterday there's like 21 Division I playing schools in winter sports in basketball in the state of New York, which is a lot. And there are some states, a lot of states, Illinois is one, which is going to be interesting to see how schools get around this. There are quarantine rules. If you go to certain states where the virus is up or that the state has deemed as hot spots for the virus, you've got to quarantine a certain number of days, or at least you're supposed to, when you get back to your house or your home or your apartment before you re-enter the local society. In a perfect world, that would really help keep the virus numbers down for people coming back from hot spots. But obviously, most people, they take a trip somewhere, they go back to work, or they go back into normal activities as soon as they get home. The New York state has some similar rules on certain states, and you're not supposed to go to, or you're supposed to quarantine when you return from those states. And I'm assuming New Mexico does as well, because the New York schools have jointly signed a letter requesting a waiver from that rule, that law, whatever you want to call it, that executive order from the governor. I'm not sure exactly how it's put into place, but whatever it is, they've asked for an exemption from that so they can travel and not have to quarantine. Since they're testing and doing extra measures that maybe the general public is not doing. New Mexico, I guess, must have pretty stringent rules as well, because New Mexico State, their basketball team, has decided to relocate for the beginning of the 2020-21 college basketball season because of recent spikes and certain restrictions, very intense restrictions, the article says, in the state of New Mexico. So they're looking to relocate maybe to Tucson, Phoenix, or Las Vegas as potential places to settle. And I guess they would take online classes there at wherever their house, wherever they're living. They would have to have a facility to practice. And maybe that is a fairly reasonable way to keep everybody together, travel together. You're keeping the players off campus. So in a way, maybe they could easily, or more easily, could create their own bubble, except for the opponents that they are playing and the people that they interact with when they go to a game. So I'm assuming they wouldn't have any home games, obviously, either, if their restrictions are very intense right now and they're leaving the state. But that's kind of an extreme side of it. But New Mexico State going to leave the state, it looks like, so they can operate their basketball program, at least for the start of the season as well. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Still ahead, we have Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. We've got IU basketball and IU football at Michigan State to discuss with him in the next segment. and Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He joins us later in the program as well. Lots more coming your way. Don't forget high school football tonight on the Big X. We'll follow the Red Devils of Jeffersonville down to Castle for a regional championship game. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest to talk IU basketball and football. Let's start with hoops and end with football. Yesterday we found out Indiana will have a Hoosier Hysteria preseason event this year, but obviously it's going to be a virtual event. And no real details, Dylan, announced as far as what we'll see in that live Facebook stream coming up on Wednesday night, but you wonder if there'll be a brief scrimmage. That's obviously what fans especially would like to see.
Yeah, definitely. You know, first, I think it's just really, I think it's really cool on sort of Indiana's part to sort of still hold this. You know, it's a tradition that a lot of fans kind of always love to see and watch. It's usually always free to the public, so it's a really good opportunity for people to come watch. And this year, you know, unfortunately, people can't go, but I think it's cool that they're still going to host this kind of virtually. I think they're going to sort of probably do most of the stuff that they usually do at a normal Hoosier Hysteria. So, you know, you start out with player introductions, and then, you know, Archie Miller will address the crowd or address people at home virtually. He'll talk on the mic, and then, you know, you should see a three-point competition, a dunk contest, and then I do imagine, you know, maybe a 15 to 20-minute 30-minute scrimmage that we usually see as well, which would be a good opportunity to just kind of see the team, see the new player, see new players in either IU uniform, see what people can do. I'm actually really excited. When Jordan Geronimo first committed to Indiana and I talked to him on the phone, we talked about, because I think he was at Hoosier Hysteria or something. He's at least here, but I remember him seeing the dunk contest. And he said he was going to pull out, so some really cool dunks if he ever got to compete in a dunk contest. So, you know, that'd be really cool to see if they hold that on and see what Jordan Geronimo has up his sleeve in terms of that. But, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised that the Big Ten Network didn't sort of pick this up, because, you know, you see it a lot with, I think, the SEC Network is going to pick up Kentucky, sort of their own version of Hoosier Hysteria. I feel like ESPN always, like, host Duke's Midnight Madness on their channel as well. So I was a little shocked that Big Ten Network kind of didn't jump in this opportunity. Maybe because of COVID, it was too hard to kind of get it set up and have all that. But, you know, Facebook Live will do, definitely. And you know, Indiana's kind of, you know, the Cuban Center they got over there in Assembly Hall, they got a lot of really, really good people kind of production-wise to put this on. So it should be a good outing, and I think a lot of fans that tune in and like what they see.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. We found out another addition to the IU schedule as well. It's going to be a December 13th home game against North Alabama, scheduled to come to town. And no surprise, we thought maybe there would be one more mid-major type opponent added to IU's schedule. I think there's still, Alex and I talked about this yesterday, but maybe still some question marks ultimately by some people. Will these high major conference teams that are in conferences that have a very aggressive policy with COVID-19, a very much financial ability to test rapidly on a regular basis, will ultimately we see some of these non-conference games take place, especially if it's a school that maybe doesn't have as strict or the ability to have as strict protocols as what Indiana or the Big Ten or maybe some of the other major conferences have? So who knows ultimately what happens with some of these games? Who knows what happens with anything, I think, when it comes down to it this college hoop season? But I think we pretty much have the non-conference schedule now, don't we?
Yeah, that's. It seems like, you know, the North Alabama was the final kind of piece to their non-conference puzzle, because now that you add them, that's about seven games, and that kind of rounds out the 27-game schedule, because you have 20 conference games. So that kind of you know, rounds everything out for them in terms of the non-conference slate. You know, we were supposed to, you know, I think we're supposed to still hear from the Big Ten about a conference schedule this week, but, I mean, it's Friday, and they still haven't done anything, which is sort of surprising, maybe not surprising based on, you know, a long way with football. But, yeah, I mean, we should know the conference schedule soon, at least. I mean, the season's about 2 weeks away, so you certainly hope they kind of show that. But, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, we talked about, I think, some December Big Ten games, and now if you look at the non-conference slate, it looks like the last non-conference game they would have would be December 19th, which is the Crossroads Classic. So, you know, I think that maybe the Big Ten play will just start maybe in later September, because that'd be a long break if you wait till January to start kind of conference play. I'm not really sure what other Big Ten teams kind of have in terms of who are they playing in December for their non-conference plays and stuff like that. But that should be interesting to look at, because, you know, we have talked about, you know, a couple games in December to sort of space things out in terms of cancellations and whatnot, they have room. So that should be interesting to see as well. But yeah, it's exciting that we kind of know Indiana's non-conference slate. You know, that's the first thing that's coming up for everybody. And you got Tennessee Tech opening night in about 2 weeks, November 25th. You go to Maui. You got Florida State, North Alabama, Butler. It should be definitely an exciting time that we sort of kind of have something to look forward to. We kind of know. We kind of have something to grasp that, because we kind of know who Indiana is going to be playing in these non-conference games. And, you know, sooner or later we should find out their Big Ten schedule, and it'll feel really complete.
We're talking with Dylan Wallace. You can read his work at si.com/college/Indiana. All sorts of IU football and basketball stuff there for you. I want to hit a recruiting topic on basketball before we head to football and talk about this weekend's game at Michigan State. But with Trey Kaufman to Purdue, he signed there earlier this week. There's, I don't want to say scrambling, but some of the other out-of-state prospects that we kind of knew of and were tracking and were following, and Indiana appears to be in pretty good shape with. Maybe they weren't as important when Kaufman was still on the board, but now that he's off the board, I feel like fans much more interested in Aminu Muhammad and Mason Miller, and then, of course, another player from Pennsylvania. The name escapes me, Mustafa. Something got an offer from Archie Miller and the Hoosiers just a few days ago after a virtual visit with Coach Miller and the staff. But Aminu Muhammad, it seems like, who Indiana is in good shape with, could make a decision sooner than what people expected. Tell us what you know about the recruitment of Muhammad and what type of addition he could be for Indiana in this 2021 class, which as of now, with signing day earlier this week, it's just Logan Duncombe in the class.
Yeah, you know, only Logan Duncombe so far. And, you know, you hit it on the head. I think a lot of people looked at Trey Kaufman, and, you know, that was kind of everybody's top priority. It's who everybody kind of wanted, instant guy, really good player. And after they didn't get him, you know, there's a few players kind of left. I think Aminu Muhammad has always been sort of like, you know, if you maybe discount Trey Kaufman, like Aminu Muhammad was like the second biggest or kind of tied at the top with Trey Kaufman in terms of kind of who they really wanted to get. And now that, you know, you didn't get Kaufman, you know, I think Indiana's kind of all hands on deck for Aminu Muhammad right now. And, you know, it's interesting kind of what his situation is, because, you know, the event that he planned to commit at in January was canceled. So now, you know, him and his guardian are sort of kind of taking into consideration the option of, you know, committing earlier, sometime in the next few weeks maybe, and even sort of enrolling early at a university rather than playing his high school season. Because, you know, there are, you know, his high school season is supposed to start December 3rd. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we know just the uncertainty with kind of what's going to happen with, you know, sports right now. So they think that, you know, they might consider, you know, committing and then enrolling early. And we see this a lot with football players. You know, a lot of football players like to enroll early as well. And, you know, it's a little bit different with basketball because, unlike football, you know, basketball has a whole, you know, still like most of its season to go after January. But in terms of if this would work for Indiana, like it definitely would, because IU has two open scholarship spots right now on its rosters. And, you know, that could be a thing that could eliminate some schools from his options. I know Georgetown and Georgia are also in the mix for him. If he chooses to do it real early, you know, they currently don't have any open scholarships at the moment. You know, he would, you know, in a normal kind of sense, if he didn't commit enroll early, he would take a graduating player or a guy leaving and take their scholarship after the season's over. But if you enroll early, you know, you're becoming a student at this time, and, you know, you have to have a spot open. So, You know, schools like Georgetown, Georgia don't have that at the moment. Indiana does, which is good if that's the route he wants to go. You know, he wouldn't be eligible to play. I think a lot of people have kind of asked that. Just because he's not reclassifying to 2020, like Christian Lander did, you know, he's still a 2021 recruit, but he's just enrolling into the university early. All that means is, you know, he'll be able to, you know, practice with the team, but he won't be able to play in any games. And I mentioned football earlier. You know, we saw this a lot last year. Like, football guys, 2020 recruits for football, enrolled early. You know, they got to practice in some Gator Bowl practices because Indiana was playing the Gator Bowl in January, but they weren't actually eligible to play in the game. So that's exactly what kind of would be the case for Amini Mohammed. And, you know, it should be definitely interesting to see kind of what he decides to do. If he does decide relatively soon, you know, Indiana's been a strong candidate, you know, for him to choose for a while now. So, you know, it'll be huge for them if they're able to get him. He's a really good player, 6'4", you know, rated like the 14th nationally player in the nation right now. So, you know, he's a really good player. And if you just look up his highlights, you can see he's got a lot of talent. And, you know, I think it'd be a great get for Indiana if he chooses to come here.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Let's talk football. And before we get to the game at Michigan State, a big pickup yesterday for the future for this Indiana team. Former Florida State wide receiver DJ Matthews announced that he would transfer to Indiana. You've got to believe that part of being able to seal the deal with him is this success, this streak that Indiana's on right now. We talk about it all the time. Coach Allen's on TV everywhere. He's on the radio everywhere. This is helping recruiting outside of the state and other parts of the country, and I think this is a product of that. Tell us about DJ Matthews and what his addition to IU football next season could be. And, of course, he has to get a waiver to be eligible for next season, but NCAA's been handing those out pretty freely during this pandemic, and we'll see if that continues for football next year.
Yeah, DJ Matthews is a really good player and kind of a huge get for Indiana there. And there's no doubt about it. Sort of seeing what they've done to start this year, and you see the videos of the locker room scenes, you see the passion from the players and the coaches, and I think it's just made Indiana a university that, you know, people might want to come to. And, you know, a lot of, you know, Ty Allen's getting a lot of national attention. You know, we get to talk to him every week, and maybe it's not that big of a deal, but, you know, when he goes on the Pat McAfee show, he goes on ESPN, and you kind of see him on the TV, and you hear people, you know, big name guys talking about Indiana football, you know, it can turn your head a little bit and make you consider it. And, you know, Ty Allen's always done a really good job recruiting ever since he got to Indiana. And, you know, with DJ Matthews, you know, he was in an interesting situation at Florida State. You know, Florida State, obviously, I don't know if many people kind of remember this, but sort of right when earlier in August, you know, Florida State was kind of accused of handling kind of precautions for COVID kind of poorly. And DJ Matthews had, you know, he sort of retweeted one of his teammates about that and stuff like that. And so I think it was just a kind of a not a great situation there for him. And, you know, he chose to attend to the transfer portal. And he entered it as a grad transfer. So, you know, he'll have 1 year of eligibility left. And he should be eligible for next season, the 2021 season. I don't see why not. You know, as you said, the NCAA is giving out waivers kind of pretty good lately, and I think they're even kind of trying to implement this rule of like a one-time, there's no complication with the waivers. Like, you get one automatically no matter what, which would be good. And, you know, he's just a really good player. You know, he was a really good receiver for Florida State last season. And he's a really good punt returner, too. I mean, he was heading into this year, he hasn't played this year, but he was heading into this year with, you know, the eighth most, like, punt yard or like yards per punt return. And he's like 10th in Florida State's history with kind of the punt return. So he's a big time weapon they could use in multiple facets of the game. And I think it's going to be huge, especially because Watt Filler's a senior. And that's sort of DJ Matthews, sort of a smaller receiver. He's kind of like, you know, maybe he can kind of remind you of Watt Filler and maybe a little more explosive than Watt as well. So I think that'll be a huge kind of piece for Indiana next season, especially with kind of Watt leaving. He can kind of just slide it into that role if Indiana sees it fit.
All right, Dylan, this weekend, Indiana at Michigan State. Hoosiers trying to go 4-0. I catch myself overlooking Saturday's game and thinking ahead to an undefeated IU team playing Ohio State the next week. I think a lot of fans probably catching themselves thinking ahead, dreaming ahead to that scenario as well. I think this game Saturday will be maybe a little tougher than what people think. Michigan State did defeat Michigan 27-24. I know they've had some bumps in the road with a couple other losses, but what are your estimations on this game, and do you agree with me that it maybe could be a closer game than what people are expecting? I think a lot of people really hyped right now. Indiana's ranked number 10 in the country. Things are going really well for Coach Allen and the group. Penix is playing well. There's room for improvement. This team can get better. We know that, but I'm a little concerned about this weekend's game on the road.
Yeah, and you should be. You know, I would be too. I think a lot of people are sort of overlooking this game, thinking it's going to be a cakewalk, and you're looking forward to, you know, 4-0 Indiana going to what's now going to be just 3-0 Ohio State because they're not playing this weekend, so they got a kind of an extra week to watch Indiana prepare, which is definitely interesting. But yeah, no, I mean Michigan State, you know, they're a solid team. They're really physical. Their defensive line, I think, like all the guys are over 300 pounds, some big dudes that they got there. And, you know, they're a good team. I think the quarterback's name Lombardi. He can throw the ball. I mean, we saw them sort of, you know, really take advantage of Michigan's pass defense, and they, you know, they got a big time receiver. They just throw it up to. And yeah, secondary's been playing really well right now, but they got to be on top of their game come Saturday. But this is definitely gonna. This is not going to be an easy game. You know, Tom Allen has never beaten Michigan State since he's been the head coach. He's never gotten the old brass platoon that they're playing for, and that's something that he really wants to get. And I think what's good is that even though maybe some fans are sort of overlooking this game, that's just not the way Tom Allen's built. Not the way that this football team is kind of built to overlook, you know, this game, especially because I think what helps is sort of the motivation from last year. I think last year when they played at Michigan State was a game that they definitely should have won. You know, Michael Penix completed like 19 passes in a row in that game at a sort of a coming out party, and Indiana was on fire, and you know, a few penalties here and there, and all of a sudden, you know, they weren't able to close out that game. But it definitely felt like a game they should have won, and I think they kind of want to avenge that loss, which I think is going to be good because you're going to need to be focused and kind of have a reason to get up for this game. But yeah, no, they're definitely not going to overlook this game. Yesterday we got to talk to Tom Allen, and someone asked him about something about like Ohio State, and Tom Allen just straight-faced just goes, hasn't crossed my mind. Like, that's all he says. Like, he was not, didn't even want to talk about Ohio State. Don't want to talk about nothing else except for preparing for Michigan State. So, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge. Definitely for sure. I mean, Michigan State, as you mentioned, they took it to Michigan. They struggled. They struggled against Rutgers and Iowa, but it's definitely a team that's capable of giving, you know, a team like Indiana issues. So they got to be on top of the game. New head coaching staff over there in Michigan State. Anything can happen. So you got to be prepared, and you know, hopefully Indiana, you know, takes it that way, and they're able to perform, keep kind of performing the way they've been this season, and come out with a W.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Big Ten football this weekend. Wisconsin back and coming out of a little COVID situation they had, which got pretty dicey there for a few weeks, because had they missed this weekend's game, they would have been ineligible for a Big Ten championship if they make it to that situation. But as Wisconsin comes back in the fold, Maryland has a little outbreak of their own. Their game against Ohio State has been canceled and will not be rescheduled. I think everything else is on tap for this weekend, pending any late changes or late COVID situations that arise. But it's just amazing from week to week. You think you're getting Wisconsin back. The conference will be whole again. Maryland has a situation. It's going to put Ohio State with an off week, a week in advance of the IU game. And then you look at the SEC, and it's like they've got more games canceled or postponed this weekend than what will actually be played in the conference schedule. So you become a little bit appreciative that so far, knock on wood, things have gone okay for the Big Ten. But that's the situation, I believe, for this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, SEC is like, you know, they're playing like two games this Saturday. Like, so many of them were canceled. And, you know, as far as the Big Ten goes, I mean, yeah, we were getting Wisconsin back for, you know, Wisconsin and Michigan should be an exciting game. And you sort of felt like the whole kind of Big Ten was going to be back to playing. And then the situation at Maryland happens, you know, which is unfortunate, obviously. You know, it's even tough for them. You know, Maryland has been, they've been a pleasant surprise this season. You know, they're 2-1. They kind of just beat up on Penn State last weekend, and, you know, they've had some nice wins. And you know, obviously Ohio State's a tough challenge, but I think, you know, they were kind of looking forward to that opportunity to see kind of where they measure up against the powerhouse that Ohio State is. So it's kind of unfortunate for Maryland, and, you know, it should be interesting to see how, you know, if they'll have a similar situation to Wisconsin, because Indiana has Maryland in about 2 weeks, 17 or 16 days now, or maybe like 15 now, but they have, you know, Indiana, you know, on November 28th. So, you know, it should be interesting to see if it affects them that long, to see if the game with Louisiana could be kind of altered as well. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. Hopefully it's a little bit less of a situation that Wisconsin has, and they can get back kind of to it in a week from now. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice that, you know, Indiana hasn't had any kind of bad outbreaks, and they've been really good with the testing and the results. So it's been nice. And, yeah, it's just a crazy season. You know, we're going to see the same thing for basketball. You know, Minnesota basketball currently is on pause due to COVID. You know, Indiana basketball, you know, this was back in September. You know, they had to pause for a little bit because of COVID. And it's just going to be a long, long season, both for football and for basketball. You know, hopefully for basketball we get some room and schedule to kind of make up games, whereas football, you know, it's not the case. So luckily for Indiana, you know, it's something they take very seriously. You know, the players kind of understand. They know if they have to be responsible. I'm sure everybody's seen sort of videos on Twitter and whatever after, you know, the Penn State Michigan wins, kind of students flooding the streets and celebrating, you know, which is, you know, you can't really blame them, obviously. But, you know, the football players have sort of stayed away from that. They've been really good, you know, really kind of staying to themselves and just kind of going back home, being safe. And it's been good. You know, they have Indiana's got a great thing going right now, and you would hate to see sort of something, you know, mess it up, have, you know, one positive test kind of mess everything up, put everything on stop with kind of the run they've been having. So it's been nice to sort of see them really responsible with this. And, you know, hopefully, as you said, knock on wood, you know, we're able to see sort of a clean Big Ten season for the rest of the week here.
Yep, absolutely. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Read his work at si.com/college/Indiana. Always appreciate your tutelage on Fridays, Dylan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. And speaking of programs on pause, he mentioned Minnesota. According to John Rothstein, right now these are college basketball programs that are currently on hold due to COVID-19. UConn, Seton Hall, Minnesota, New Mexico, Iona, where Rick Pitino's at, Canisius, Winthrop, a couple others here as well. Let me bring them up. Rider, Sacred Heart, Indiana State on hold right now because of COVID-19. And I think that's the full list, at least that we're aware of right now. That's according to John Rothstein. We'll head to a commercial break. Final segment with Kyle Nedenrip comes up next. We'll talk high school football. We'll talk attendance requirements and really being diminished with some recent things with the state as far as COVID-19 goes, kind of going backwards with the virus cases going up. We'll discuss that and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us Fridays. And, Kyle, we've got a couple things to talk about surrounding high school sports in this segment. Football regional championship games are tonight. That's the good news. The negative side of it is COVID-19 continues to impact sports. And with high school basketball season and the winter and the cold months and the flu and other concerns ahead, we really beginning to worry about what attendance could look like at some of our great basketball schools and rivalries that we have and look forward to each winter here in this state. But let's start with the good news. The storyline locally is Jeffersonville. They've put quite a run together, an upset over Floyd Central in the semifinal. Then they beat rival New Albany, avenging both of those losses back in the regular season to win the sectional championship, their first since 2007. And now they'll try to make history tonight and win a regional for the first time ever as they head down to Castle. Talk about Jeff being a bit of a surprise. I think one of the bigger surprises in the state so far in this tournament, and also some of the other big games around the state tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff's a program that, you know, I know they got off to a rough start, but as we know in Indiana high school football, that doesn't really matter as long as you can put together a run in the tournament. you know, all past games are forgotten. I know Floyd Central had whipped them pretty good, and it's kind of the oddity of it's hard to beat a team three times. Well, we don't normally talk about that in football. You know, that's probably one of the weirder things that have happened throughout this. They played Floyd Central twice during the year and lost both games, and then come back and beat them in the sectional. So, yeah, that's a cool story. I mean, there's, you know, I think in football especially, you know, you don't see teams kind of rise up out of nowhere and win sectionals very often. You know, it's such a program-based tradition, you know, just the overall numbers of kids, and that makes it tough to kind of, you know, bring a program off the turf like that. But, you know, they're playing for a regional tonight, and I don't think many people probably expected that. One of the underdog stories for sure of the tournament is happening tonight in Castle. So that's cool for them to be able to, you know, be part of that experience. I think some of the big games to me, and there's, you know, one down in Evansville tonight. I think the bottom half of the 4A bracket is really interesting. And I've kind of been looking forward to this for a while. Tonight, Mooresville goes down to Evansville Central and plays, goes on the road and plays an undefeated team. That's going to be a really, really good game. Mooresville's ranked third in 4A, Evansville Central second. And then the other game in that side of the bracket is number four, Roncalli, at number one, Mount Vernon. So, you know, you got the top four teams in the class, you know, kind of in that little quadrant there. And I think any of those four teams, you know, is a potential state champion. And 4A is probably a little bit more wide open than other classes are, but, you know, super interested to see, you know, what happens in those two games tonight. You know, Mount Vernon and Roncalli played last year, and Mount Vernon won. Both those teams are better than they were a year ago. And then Mooresville, you know, they've kind of been building for a while. This program has been under Mike Gillen. You know, you probably remember that name from Decatur Central and Indian Creek over the years, and now doing it at Mooresville, got that program going again. And, you know, they played for a regional last year and lost to Evansville Memorial on the road. So they're making another trip to Evansville tonight to play Evansville Central. So I think those two are probably the two, you know, two really interesting games in 4A. And then in 6A, you know, I would say, you know, Center Grove plays Warren Central at home. That's where I'll be. You know, Warren is 4-5, but, you know, they're always good, you know, so you kind of throw the records out. These teams are so familiar with each other. But get kind of on, you know, I guess I'm kind of on upset watch tonight just to see if Warren can, you know, have a chance to win that game. And, you know, elsewhere in 6A, Carmel and Ben Davis up here is another big one, traditional rivalry game on the south side of that bracket. So, you know, a lot of good games tonight. I think to me, the real interest is that bottom half of that 4A bracket and seeing how that plays out. And then I think you've got some other games that, you know, maybe have more clear, you know, favorites and underdogs. But I think those two games could be, you know, absolutely fantastic tonight.
Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Okay, on Wednesday, Governor Holcomb announced that they're going to basically give more ability at the county level for counties to recommend and have restrictions. And they did announce a statewide coloring system as far as the map goes, red being the worst, orange being closer to red in the middle of the scale, and different regulations that go along with that. But it's going to be based county to county on public events and attendance and things like that. So if they hadn't already stepped up, because they had the ability to supersede the state at any time, but if they hadn't already become one of the more important figures in your local county, your local health officer is going to become a figure that I think we'll be talking about their names more and more as we get into the winter. High school basketball, I really feel like, I don't know that I feel like the season is threatened, although as virus cases go up, you have to wonder about that. But we're seeing more schools go back to e-learning. We're seeing health departments make regulations on attendance. There's a scale now from the state that will regulate public events and what size of events that they can be. And I've been to a couple girls basketball games so far, and I'm not sure that any event has met the limit for capacity. I think there's a lot of grandparents and older folks and fans and others that either can't get a ticket or just want to stay away to be safe. This is going to be an odd season. We've said that over and over again. Football's fall sports, they were different. But as we go all indoor, we see all indoors this winter, we see some different regulations and how they're going to be implemented. I really worry about crowds and the ability to have any sort of crowd as we get into January or February for basketball games.
Yeah, you hit on it, Matt. I actually just wrote something this morning, last night and this morning, and it's not up yet on the Star website yet, but it should be later. I'm not promoting that necessarily. I'm just saying you're thinking along the same lines I am as far as that goes. And I think, you know, from what Holcomb said on Wednesday, you know, those restrictions, I think, to me, that's not the real story. You know, it is a story, but I think most schools had kind of already had those thoughts in line. And you know, there's been schools around here and I'm sure elsewhere throughout the state that have said, you know, hey, we're just going to do essential people in the building, participants and possibly parents, you know, and maybe get two parents in the gym, you know, no students, no crowd, you know, no student crowds, no bands, no nothing, no concessions. And I think, you know, from everybody I've talked to going out to practices and open gyms, I think that's kind of where everybody was anyway, as far as that goes. Like, hey, let's do whatever we can to have the season, you know, keep people out, and let's try to do this. But in the last week, I would say, you know, my trepidation for the season has raised a level. And I'm kind of with you. I don't think the season is necessarily yet in jeopardy. But I'm worried about individual teams because of quarantine situations that become just super rampant. You know, that to me is going to be the biggest issue is can you play day to day? And, you know, I know the girls' season's going on now, and I just looked on Harrell's site earlier today, and last night there was, I think, 11 games postponed, and 36 still happened. So it's kind of the glass half full or half empty, however you want to look at it. But I guess I'm feeling like, you know, we're going to continue on, and I'm glad Marion County, you know, said yesterday we're going to, you know, go virtual, but you're still going to be able to have sports, you know, and if you just have to limit the crowds, you know, completely restrict the crowds. And as of now, you know, you can still have games. Now, like I said, the problem is going to be the individual schools being able to keep the games going, you know, based on what their quarantine situation looks like. It, to me, that's the biggest story is can you play with your own team situation? And, you know, and I think the crowds that's not completely unexpected. I'm glad they made those changes and put them in writing. But, you know, I'm definitely feeling differently a week ago, you know, now when I talk to you than I do right now. I just think you're looking at the numbers, it's just getting worse and worse, and it makes you concerned.
Absolutely. Kyle Medinrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Always look forward to it, and we'll do it again next Friday.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt.
High school football tonight on the Big X. Jeffersonville, go Red Devils. They're at Castle tonight in a regional championship game. We'll have it for you live here on the Big X. Be back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.